Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Good to be back. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Amino Hassan at 1040. Lindsay Theory at 1130. All brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same network as the big boys. Pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Greg, did you miss me?
I did miss you. We had 2 weeks without you, and I felt like it was just weird. Are you able to do this again? Like, can you just step in and be like, I know what I'm doing again?
I mean, I feel like it's riding a bike, right? Like, you don't necessarily just forget how to do it. Like, you may, there. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot, Laura. You don't know how to ride a bike.
I don't. I'm like, hey.
Yeah. So I don't know. What would the analogy be then for someone who doesn't know how to ride a bike? That's an interesting place to start here. Wasn't what I was expecting to start with, but go right ahead. What is the obvious analogy then for someone like you who doesn't know how to ride a bike?
I can't say it on air.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
I'm intrigued.
Like, yeah. Right? I mean, you had a story. Is this part of the story?
Well, no, let's do this. Let's get, okay. Here's the thing. You can tell me off the air in the break, and then we'll get to your story because you text me today, like, it was the craziest bleep of bleeps that ever happened. So I want to hear this story in a second. But I do want to start talking about the NBA and the NFL and Major League Baseball because we got a lot of stuff there. Sports is back this week. How exciting is that? Actual games. I know the MLS has been going on. Sorry for the Galaxy fans. Chicharito no longer available. We know that Carlos Vela didn't play for the LAFC. So there's soccer going on. Baseball, there were some scrimmages here, right? Some practice games or whatever the last couple of days. The Dodgers played the Diamondbacks. But the NBA is upon us and Major League Baseball is upon us. And the NFL, well, we hope, is upon us. But let's start with the NBA here real quick. LeBron and the Lakers. And it's funny because they came back yesterday and there was a lot of talk about the bubble and trying to thrive in that particular environment or whatnot. But of course, what came up when LeBron James took the podium was the discussion about the MVP race. And Laura, get me the second cut from LeBron that I sent you this morning. It is about the season being cut short. Because if you don't know, for whatever reason, maybe you were hiding under a rock, or maybe, you know, you're just busy because, you know, life is happening, that the NBA is not going to use the seeding games, which is these 8 games that they're going to play, the regular season games in Orlando, to count towards the awards. The individual awards. The individual awards will be voted upon already, and these won't count, so they're going to do all that stuff beforehand and get it going. And LeBron was asked if he thought that was fair or not.
I think I said first time I did media that until something, if it was to happen, then you approach it. Everything has gone the way it's supposed to go on since we've been here, and it's given me no indication why it won't continue. If something happens or...
Laura, just cut that. Don't worry about it. Just cut that out. Cut out. That's not the sound we wanted. So play the sound we wanted about the MVP race.
No, I'm not disappointed because, you know, things happen and control what you can control, and I can't control that. But as far as the MVP race, I think I, you know, show what I'm capable of doing, you know, not only individually, but from a team's perspective. Us being number one in the West, there was a lot of conversation about LeBron can do those things in the East, but if he ever came to the West, what can he do? You know, I heard all of that. And to be able to have our team at the top of the Western Conference and playing the way that we were playing at that time and the way I was playing, you know, that's definitely a good feeling.
Look, it was this thing. I heard it here. So don't lie now, okay? Because I know plenty of you called me over the time, right? Over the last couple of years, particularly last season when LeBron was injured. It was, oh, you know, he dominated in the East. Like, that doesn't mean anything, blah, 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 blah. Well, now he's the one seed in the West. Now what? Now what? What is the excuse? And look, you guys know how I feel about Giannis. I think Giannis is amazing. It's funny, I get painted as this Giannis hater, mostly on television, because I guess we have to speak in short bites, and I don't have the opportunity to elaborate like I do here on radio. I think Giannis is incredible. Giannis is clearly a top 3 player in the NBA. I just don't think he's better than LeBron. And yes, Giannis has had a ridiculous statistical season this year. There's no question about that. He's been phenomenal. He's putting up numbers that only Wilt has put up. And he's doing it in only 30 minutes. So I know that Giannis's season has been incredible. I just don't think he's more valuable than LeBron. Let me explain something to you. about the Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron James and without LeBron James. The Los Angeles Lakers, their offense, when LeBron James is on the floor, is the number two offense in the entire NBA. Greg Bergman, would you like to guess when LeBron James is off the floor, which isn't all that often, but when LeBron James is off the floor, where does the Lakers' offense rank in those minutes?
24th.
Worse, 28th. Okay, wow. So out of 30 teams, they rank 28th out of 30th when LeBron is off the floor. You can't say the same for Giannis. Like, you can't say that. And LeBron is still proving the doubters wrong at 35 years old. He is pushing back father time unlike anyone I've ever seen, really in the history of sports, let alone the NBA. So this notion that he's not the best player in the game at this particular point is silly. Even my colleagues, okay, who I did a story with, I did a lot of stories while I was on vacation. I really didn't have much of a vacation. I was doing a lot of TV, which I appreciate, don't get me wrong. And certainly a lot of stories for .com, which I appreciate, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't the vacation I expected, at least the mental break I expected. Nonetheless, we're all dealing with this crap together. So you know what? If you had to work, I had to work. So I'm kind of glad that I still had some work to do, because I guess I felt like I was preparing myself for this week when I return to you and the airwaves. But nonetheless, as I digress, I do think that even my colleagues, we did a poll. We did it's called ESPN NBA Rank. You know, we do this all the time, right? We rank players one through whatever. And, you know, we did the all-time rank a few months ago where Kobe came in, I think, ninth or whatever it was. And most recently, we did the top 50 players in the bubble. And in the top 50 players in the bubble, and there were six panelists, including myself. Now, I had LeBron 1. I was curious as to what my colleagues would do, because I didn't think in the aggregate I would be right that LeBron wouldn't be 1. But he was. He was number 1. And Giannis was number 2. And Kawhi was number 3. So if that's the case, and granted, it's only a small sample size of 6 people, if we're having this argument today that LeBron is still the best player in the NBA, if you can really make that assertion, then what the hell are we talking about with the MVP? Because I don't get it. And let me say something to you about this. What a championship would mean for LeBron and the Lakers, but specifically for the Lakers. Do you remember what the last 6 or 7 seasons were like, Greg Bergman, without LeBron being at the peak of his powers, you know, post-injury?
Yeah, like under 30 wins every single year.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, right?
No, it was very brutal to watch. But there was hope with the young kids.
Right. And what did I tell you about all that hope?
That it's just hope.
Right. It doesn't always manifest itself in actual production, right? And when LeBron got here, I remember fighting with people all the time about, oh, we got to keep the young guys and build, because what about LeBron if he gets old and he's getting old and, oh my God, he's injured and he's never going to be the same player again. And here we are. LeBron post-injury is the best player on the planet. I was telling you, 6 months off. He's never had that before. Well, at least not since like his second season in the NBA, which he doesn't really need it at that stage of his career at 19 or 20 years old. But at 34 and 35, he definitely needed it. And here we are, still, yet again, making the case that LeBron James is the best player on the planet. Making the case that LeBron James probably got, or will probably get, shafted for the MVP, in my opinion. So here we are. But what a championship would mean for the Lakers, with the last 7 years being as bad as it was, for LeBron having to deal with the injury for the first time in his career, a significant injury, and people truly doubting him. You know, I mocked him a ton, right, for the quote-unquote revenge season. But if you really think about it, if he ends up winning the championship and he comes to a Lakers team where he didn't have the quote-unquote perfect team set up for him right out of the gate, which is a knock he tends to get, right? Oh, he went to Miami to play with Wade and Bosh. Oh, he went to Cleveland to play with a younger version of Wade and Bosh and Kyrie and Love, a ready-made team, which we all know doesn't always happen. It's rare that teams come together in the first year they do anything, you know, significant, let alone win a championship, right? Even great teams, more times than not, come up short in those scenarios. But we're in a situation where all that stuff seems like we'd laugh at it now. Like if I told you now those were the things we were saying, including some of you out there, you would either try to deny it or you'd laugh at those that thought that. And what I'm telling you is this is going to be a moment in Laker history where you're going to be able to sit there and say to yourself, we're back. If he finishes the deal with Anthony Davis and they win another championship, you will have endured the longest drought in Laker history, in your lifetime, of not being, forget about winning championships, of not even being relevant in regards to being in the competition for winning a championship. That should taste really bleeping good. Kind of like my Netflix and chilled ice cream that I was talking about with LZ and Travis, which Laura did not love. What do you not like about Netflix and chilled ice cream from Ben and Jerry's? Peanut butter ice cream, fudge chunks, and like a pretzel, salted pretzel swirl.
I don't want to die. That's probably the go-to. I'm allergic to peanut butter.
Oh, you can't ride a bike. You're allergic to peanuts. What don't you have?
Damn, it's not my day today, guys. You're back. It's not my day today.
What happened to you today?
I got pulled over.
What?
Yeah, and it wasn't even the being pulled over part. It's what happened while I was pulled over that really got to me. And I basically got, what's the word? Played, because I was recording the officer and I was asking him why I got pulled over. And then he said, I'm not going to give you a speeding ticket, because he couldn't show me the gun, and he couldn't tell me how he clocked me in the fast track when he was pulled over on the shoulder and there's like four other lanes and people are going fast. He couldn't tell me how he clocked me. So he said, your option is you delete the video that you just took and I'll just give you a fix-it ticket. And he said, or do you want a $300 ticket for speeding? So I just kind of felt played because I knew I wasn't speeding. So, yeah, it's been a rough morning, boys.
So what's a fix-it ticket? Like, what does that mean?
See, okay, so he asked me what it was, and I kind of tried to play dumb, and I was like, no, I don't know. But basically what it is it's like if you don't have your registration card, which I did, but he's like, no, you don't have it.
Right, so it's just like a small infraction as opposed to a $300 speeding ticket. So it's like $80 as opposed to $300. And then, yeah, but you're still paying the $80.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, I didn't do nothing wrong, and you can't tell me exactly what I did wrong, because then you're saying speeding. But I was like, okay, show me the gun. And he's like, I don't have to. I was like, okay, fine, because I know they don't. And I said, but can you just explain to me how you clocked me six lanes down from you, and you still followed me a mile? And I asked him, when you followed me for the mile, was I going 85? He goes, no, you were going 60. I'm like, so how are you clocking me in at 85? And he basically just said, well, you have this option or that option.
So he was on the other shoulder is what you're saying.
Yeah, I was at the fast track.
No, the fast track lane. And he was on the opposite side of the highway.
He was, no, on the same side, but on the shoulder side, like close to the exit of the freeway. But there's four lanes or five lanes in between where I was.
Right. That's what I'm saying. He's on the opposite side of you on the freeway.
Yeah, he wasn't in back of me. Yes. Right. Exactly. So I'm like,
And then he found his way into the fast track lane and then followed you and pulled you over to give you the ticket.
I actually exit the fast track lane to get out to come to work.
Oh, I see. And that's when he got you.
Yeah. But he like cut off like four cars to get to me, followed me for a mile, and then pulled me over.
All right. 877-710-ESPN. What should Laura do with this? 877-710-3776. Also, your thoughts on LeBron and the Lakers and what it would mean to win a championship for the Lakers after all you've endured. You've endured the worst drought in Laker fandom history. What would it mean if LeBron can prove the doubters wrong at age 35 and carry this team to a championship? Also, coming up next, Sean McVay with some doubts. I'll tell you about what in just a moment. Stick around. It's the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And we've got some breaking news on the Dodgers. Breaking news on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com to find a location near you and download up to $15 in coupons. Gavin Lux, Greg Bergman, has been optioned. What the hell? Like, I don't understand this.
I'm really surprised about this one. He is a legitimate Rookie of the Year contender and possibly even a favorite this year. So I don't know exactly what's happening.
He is the favorite.
Yes. Yeah. And so the fact that he was optioned means that there's just something that's not right. I haven't seen he hasn't really had that great of a spring so far, or I guess this is summer, but great of a summer exhibition season. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to see a lot more of Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor and Max Muncy at second base. I'm shocked.
Okay, do you think, and by the way, on ESPN's panel, they picked the MVP Cy Young Rookie of the Year. Gavin Lux was number one, like the number one overall pick. Like he was by far the choice for Rookie of the Year. Now, do you think that, because this is just me guessing right now because we don't have any information, do you believe this has to do with service time? That they believe that they don't want to waste him in a small 60-game sample of a season. They don't want to waste his service time. Do you believe that has anything to do with that?
I think that if this was any other year, if this was last year, which they kind of did this anyway, but in any other year, I would probably agree with you, but I don't in this year. You're talking about a 60-game season where you don't know if you're going to have Mookie Betts next year, where you're going to – this is the year to win the World Series because you have that, because your team is so freaking good that, no, I don't think this has to do with service time. They want to have the right guys, and you need to get off to a hot start and just – and blow past everybody. You can't do that if you're worrying about service time.
Do you remember when we had Dave Roberts on? We had Dave Roberts on June 26th, okay? June 26th, Dave Roberts came on with us. We talked to him for like 20 minutes. And to your credit, I wasn't going to ask him about Gavin Lux, but you told me, ask him about Gavin Lux, okay? And I asked him, and it felt like his answer was like, nah. Like it wasn't super convincing. Like he was almost kind of like, again, I'm remembering it this way, and we have the audio. We're going to play it in a second, but do you remember, like, I felt like he was kind of, like, not super enthusiastic talking about Gavin Lux on June 26th.
Yeah, you said to him, you know, like, let me ask you about Gavin Lux. And he goes, well, yeah, you know, Gavin's going to need a little bit more time. He's not quite ready yet. He did stay out of camp for a little while and was late coming into it. So I don't know if he actually ever said why it was. He possibly did. I'm not going to speculate. But so maybe it was because he came in late and he just isn't ready yet.
Yeah, I remember him being that way. So here's Dave Roberts on June 26th, and I asked him about Gavin Lux, who was just sent down today, strangely enough. Here it is.
Yeah, you know, Gavin had a really good off-season, extended off-season, second off-season. I don't know what to call it, but he was in L.A. For the initial off-season. Then we started spring training, went back to Wisconsin, and he's continued to get strong and work out and just for me, the last year to watch his confidence grow has been fun, and him just mature as a big league ball player. But right now, honestly, we're going to have 15 position players. We have a lot of guys that we can move around the diamond. So Gavin certainly is going to be on the roster, and you know we'll see how he performs. But we have a lot of good options for second base as well the diamond.
Look, he gave you the kind of like at the beginning, right? It was kind of like, well, and then like he starts talking about it and just kind of all the things he's been through. Then he starts talking him up, right? Like he's done really well. But then he kind of catches himself and says, you know, but we do have 15 guys basically that we can play, you know, that we have to kind of look at. But, you know, I think he's going to be I think he'll be on the roster. It just was a little all over the place, right? Like it didn't seem definitive even at that point.
No, none of it sounded confident from him whatsoever. And he was very much saying, we have other guys and Lux is just going to kind of be there and we'll use them as we see fit. So being optioned today is really telling to what we just heard from Dave Roberts, because he was alluding to it in there.
Yeah, Laura, play the sound one more time. I want to break this thing down like the Zapruder film, basically. Go ahead, let me hear it.
Yeah, you know, Gavin had a really good I guess, I don't know, off-season, extended off-season, second off-season, I don't know what to call it, but he was in L.A. For the initial off-season, then we started spring training, went back to Wisconsin, and he's continued to get strong and work out, and just for me, the last year, to watch his confidence grow has been fun, and him just mature as a big league ball player. But right now, honestly, we have, again, we're going to have 15 position players. We have a lot of guys that we can move around the diamond. So Gavin certainly is going to be on the roster, and, you know, we'll see how he performs. But we have a lot of good options for second base as well as all over the diamond.
Yeah, you see, like right there, 15 position players. We're going to move guys all around the diamond. You know, he'll certainly be on the roster, although he's not on the roster. But, you know, we'll see how he performs, basically. But we got guys, we've got options there, even particularly at second base. So it wasn't even then, like, it wasn't a resounding, oh, man, yeah, this kid's going to be our guy. Like, he's a stud. Like, we probably should have thought of that then. And now it makes sense in retrospect. So I'm glad Laura was able to find that audio.
Yeah, and just looking at the box scores, that Kevin Lux is 0-for-3 in the two games of the exhibition games, and Chris Taylor, who would probably be playing that second base, is tearing the cover off the ball and just having a monster exhibition season so far. So, I mean, it could very well be that. I believe both Chris Taylor and Kike Hernandez are free agents at the end of this year, so
right,
this is kind of their last shot. Kind of deal, and if they need them to play and they're playing well, then Lux is just kind of on the outside looking in, especially since defense has been kind of an issue with him, especially at second base.
So you think that, right, they just want to go with the more sound veteran guys. So you think that in a 60 game situation, if you're just tuning in, Gavin Lux has been optioned down. He was the overwhelming favorite to be rookie of the year. Okay. So you think that maybe it's that, right? It's less about wasting his eligibility this season, right? And you think it seems like it's probably more about, hey, because it's a sprint, we need to have the guys we absolutely trust 1,000,000% out there, both offensively and defensively. This is about veterans. We have the deepest team. Let's utilize those veterans in a smart fashion to be able to get us through there, to get us through the sprint, to then sprint again to try to win a championship.
Yes, that's exactly what I think. And Chris Taylor is one of those dudes that, and same with Kike Hernandez, are actually very, very good defenders, especially at second base. So if you're looking for offense versus defense, it's usually with this team, especially how great their defense has been over the last year and now just gets better with Mookie Betts added into this whole mix. I think you got to go with the bigger, the more defensive lineup, and you're getting a lot of production out of Chris Taylor. So I think he's just kind of on the outside looking in after that. I'm shocked, though. I honestly, after watching Gavin
I'm very Lux surprised.
Tear the cover off the ball in AAA last year. This is shocking to me.
And he had a pretty good season last year, right? In a short stint.
Yeah, when he came up, he was playing very well. I mean, in the division series, he had one hit. It was a home run, and then he didn't do much after that. But not really many very Dodgers.
No, I'm talking about in the regular season portion. Like, I thought he played pretty well at the end of last season.
Yeah, he was fine. He didn't tear the cover off the ball, but he was getting on base. He would walk. He was being right. Pretty patient. There was nothing he did that was like, oh, you don't belong on this field. But when you got other guys that are doing everything, it just, I guess it makes more sense.
Wow. So there it is. Breaking news that Gavin Lux has been optioned down by the Dodgers. Coming up in a second here, I want to get to this Sean McVay stuff. Sean McVay is doubtful, and I'll tell you what he's doubtful about. So, yeah, we'll continue to have, we'll see if we get more information on that, Greg. Like, let's find out, I guess, if we can see what was the impetus for sending him down, particularly like if there was any reason for it. In the interim, Sean McVay has expressed some doubts here on the NFL season. He was on a podcast. I want to make sure I get this right. By the way, Sean, you're cheating on us, okay? I just want to let you know, Sean, that you were cheating on us, all right? You were on the Helly Pod, Dan Helly of the NFL Network, who is great, by the way. He is actually very good. But he did cheat on us. Are you upset that Sean McVay cheated on us on another audio platform, Greg Bergman?
I mean, I think it's a little bit rude if you ask me. I don't know. Yeah. I think he belongs right here with you. So, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Sean, what the hell, huh? Are you cheating on me with Helly? What? He's got, you know, what? He's got better hair, better muscles? Like what? What? He's in better shape? What's going on here? You know, I thought we had a bond here, McVay. Anyway. All right. Here's what Sean McVay, he was asked by the great Dan Helly of the NFL Network on the Helipod about the start of next season. And Sean was kind of iffy on it.
Something about it tells me maybe there's a chance that things get moved back. And that's what's weird, because you want to make sure, hey, if we're going, we're ready to roll, we're locked in. So what I've been telling our people is, hey, we're going to have a great plan. Whether we get a chance to execute that plan now or a little bit later remains to be seen. But I am confident we'll have a season, we'll be able to play football. Whether or not it goes exactly on the schedule that we've all seen, that's something that I'm a little skeptical of right now.
Yeah, I don't blame him. And again, that was Sean McVay, the Rams head coach, on the helipad, Dan Helly of the NFL Network. So he seems skeptical that the season will start. And Greg, this is on the heels of Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, saying, yeah, I don't even know. We're not going to probably have fans in the new stadium. And I don't even know if we're going to start the season on time either. Like, he used the phrase uncertainty, right? Again, like, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And you and I have talked about this, that the NFL feels like they're just trying to be a little too brazen, a little too cavalier with this stuff. And let's not forget, before I get your thoughts on this, yesterday, I mean, well, not just yesterday, but for a couple of days, the NFL players, like the biggest stars in the sport, J.J. Watt, Patrick Mahomes, a number of these guys were using, Jared Goff was one of them, was tweeting out or putting out on social media the hashtag we want to play, but they were talking about the lack of safety protocols, the lack of testing available to them at their facilities, and that if they're going to do it, that they want to play, but the NFL, it's on them to create a safe environment. And the players basically forced the NFL's hands to creating a safer environment with the protocols and the testing at training camp that are supposed to start here very soon this week, where the rookies are going to be the guinea pigs here in a couple of days. Here's Adam Schefter on SportsCenter yesterday about the players and their efforts to get the testing in the NFL.
It means that the players' voices were heard. They're going to be tested daily for the first 2 weeks of training camp. If the numbers decline, then the testing could be every other day, which is what the NFL felt was necessary and required at this point in time. But the NFL players wanted it done on a regular basis because they know that they're going home to families. They didn't want to put themselves any more at risk than they already are. And so the league acquiesced to do that today, agreeing to the daily testing in the first 2 weeks of training camp.
I mean, for the love of God, it took your star players to go out on Twitter and Instagram for you to instill daily testing for 2 weeks? You're the NFL. You've got the most money of any sport. You've got more money than God in most cases. And you can't buy a couple of tests for your players? And you're throwing the rookies to the wolves here? Like, man. And by the way, the players, Greg, talked about, it was less about their own personal fears, but about the fears about going back to their families, right? Whether it's their kids or their wives or their girlfriends. Some of them live with mom still, right? Grandma sometimes is still around doing stuff for guys, right? Like, I just think that the NFL has been so tone deaf during this entire time. And they had the most leeway of anyone in this regard, because when this virus hit and the pandemic hit, man, they had the most time. They kept saying, we've got all this time. We don't have to play till September. We got a lot of time to figure it out. Well, they've blown all that time that they've had now.
Yeah, you hit on almost all of it, but then we've talked about this in the past. The NFL is just so arrogant that they feel like they're the NFL. They can do whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want. They didn't listen to what Major League Baseball went through. They didn't listen to what NBA had to go through with their testing and everything else. The fact of the matter is that when baseball was having all of these issues, yes, it was money, but they were still talking about the safety. The NFL should have already known safety comes first. The players need to feel safe in order to play the sport. And if they don't feel safe, they're not going to play, and that's it. And then you have absolutely nothing. This all should have been done months ago, and just they just felt like, oh, by the time we start, this Corona thing's going to be gone, and right. That's just not how you go about it.
Yeah, it feels like that's exactly what it is. Now, Laura, you are the woman on this show. You are practical. You're smarter than all of us. You're more calm. You would have to assume, like, I know it sounds like I'm being a blowhard because, well, I mean, that's just kind of naturally how I sound. But like, I feel like I'm not being an alarmist here. Like, the NFL had to be strong-armed into testing their players.
Yeah, and I think for me personally, I like that the players did that. And they use that platform in a good way because you know what happened with Major League Baseball and how they took to Twitter and Instagram to do other things. It was in the players' benefit to do this. And it sucks that they had to do that they felt the need that they couldn't talk to their league privately, where they had to go publicly and shame them into doing this. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts. Like, it makes no sense. On the flip side, right, you've got the NBA kind of really doing this right. Remember their initial test when everybody came to camp, I think it was like 24, 25 guys total in the initial round of tests out of the 300 and some odd players that were playing in the bubble tested positive. We thought those numbers were good then. Then they arrived in Orlando. Those numbers were down to 2 for the players that were in Orlando. And yesterday it was reported by Shams Charania that there were 0 players, that everyone is fine and ready to go. And again, you just look at the way that the NBA has handled this. They got the sign-off from Dr. Fauci and the CDC and everyone. No other sport has done that. And again, football has wasted all this time, all this opportunity that they had to get this thing more right than anyone, really. Even though there are more inherent challenges with football because of the way the sport is played, how physical it is, how close you have to be, the huddling, all that stuff, right? The close quarters, even in the locker room areas. It is just fascinating to me how they've blown this. Speaking of the NBA, we were just talking about the Lakers earlier, and Amin is going to join us in 7 minutes. We're going to talk to Amin about a number of different things revolving around the NBA. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests like Amin appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. By the way, Lindsay Theory will join us to talk about the NFL at 11:30, too. But, Laura, I have a Frank Vogel cut, right? A Frank Vogel cut. Now, Frank Vogel, we've talked about how he has been a really good coach for LeBron, right? Like, it's not easy coaching LeBron, okay? And I think that Frank, right out of the gate, got the buy-in. And it was something, it's funny because Amin is coming on. Amin was one of the first guys to tell us. Him and my buddy Mo Dakhil from Bleacher Report, they were the first guys to say, look, the most important thing for Frank Vogel with coaching LeBron, this was back before the season, is he's got to get buy-in. And he's gotten it. And I think that that's a testament to how great Frank is as a coach, and as just someone who can relate to people, right, from a personality standpoint. And even he, though, is interested. As someone who's competed against LeBron in the playoffs, he is curious to see and kind of witness himself what playoff LeBron is like. Let me hear Vogel.
Well, it's going to be really enhanced. You know, obviously, it's been great having LeBron on our side after years of going against him. But in particular, when we get to the playoff environment, I've just seen how he is this year with some of the bigger regular season games, how he's just more mentally locked in, more vocal, more making sure everybody else is locked in. And I anticipate that come playoff time, we'll see that all be done at an enhanced level, and looking forward to being a part of it.
What is playoff LeBron like? Where will LeBron rank at the restart? I've got a lot of questions for Amin. What will the Lakers winning a title, what would it be? How impressive would it be on his resume? Is LeBron the best player on the planet? Will he be next year? How many more seasons? How many titles can he win? We'll ask Amin all those questions in 4.5 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. It gives you the unbeatable engine protection you need. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And Nature Valley Crunchy Bars, whether you're taking the trail or your terrace, your deck or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. Amino Hassan, our buddy, ESPN NBA front office insider, giving us the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Amin, I just posted something on Twitter. I think it's pretty hilarious. So Laker Film Room sent this to me because it's a picture of Rob Pelinka, and I've quote tweeted it. And he's got the slicked hair, and he's standing with his hands on his hips. I think Pelinka's morphing into Riles. I need you to put me on speaker. Yeah, I need you to put me on speaker and look at my last tweet because it's pretty hilarious. Like, he's got the hair, the hands on his hips, like all of it. It just looks like Riley, like 30 years ago.
Hold on, I'm looking for it right now.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my God! You know what else he's done is the gray is starting to creep in.
Yeah. Just like Riley. Yeah.
But he's got pretty kind of a face. You know, the best part, like, he doesn't have that. You know, Riley's got that face that says connected in New York. You know, like
right,
this
right.
small working class. You know, my mom and dad owned a five and dime store or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's pretty hilarious. Anyway, so, Amin, I got a number of things to ask you. So let's start here. If you were ranking LeBron right now, of all the players in the bubble, where is he?
Either one or two.
Right.
Two. Him and Giannis, right? Yeah. Like, unless new information comes to us, where it's like, oh, he actually, you know, the layoff really hurt him or he's gotten sick or whatever. But my thing is, like, as we approach these games starting, anyone who tells you, like, their ranking of someone has moved up or down due to the layoff, you're lying because you don't know. None of us know how these guys look or feel. So the only thing we have to go off of is, you know, the 3 months or 4 months of basketball that we've already seen. Now, you could say someone like Carmelo looks like he'll have moved up because not only is he in better shape, but also he's getting a training camp now. He's getting the chance to kind of things that he had to learn on the fly. He's getting to, you know, time to learn and learn more deeply. So I imagine someone like Carmelo is going to be much better than what he was in March. But again, those guys at the top, none of those things apply, right, as far as better shape or better understanding or anything. So to me, you know, LeBron and Giannis, one and two, whichever way you want to call it.
The Lakers winning a championship this year for LeBron's career, like where you rank it on LeBron's career, because then I want to get into them as an organization next. But specifically when it applies to LeBron, more, less, or as impressive as other titles?
I would say more impressive because of his age. You have to take that into account. Now, if you're someone who does not like LeBron, of course you're going to say less. Right, you're going to say, oh, it was in a bubble. You're going to come up with every excuse to belittle or demean or diminish this accomplishment. But the reality is, you know, it's a championship is a championship. No one's going to win a championship that's easier than anyone else. And so the fact that he's on year 17, that he's going to be 36 by the end of the year, and was able to not only win a championship but do it as arguably the best player in the game this late in his career at this age, that is very, very impressive. More impressive than it, way more impressive than any other thing.
Now let's flip it to the organization. What would a championship mean for the Lakers this season after, you know, what you've seen from them over the last 7 or 8 years?
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's like, we're back, right? It was a long road through the wilderness and you know, a lot of heartache and pain and missteps and all that, but ultimately, I would say that for the most part, I think it should be not only cherished as, you know, kind of like that championship in 2000, right? They had that long drought when the 90s was just a forgotten decade. This would be the same thing. Like for the most part, everything after 2010 is almost forgotten other than the individual accomplishments of Kobe Bryant. So it's like it would be a nice fresh start, a new start to the decade. Wow, I just thought about it. Just like they did in 1980 and they did in 2000 and now 20 years after that, 2020 would have a nice kind of circular ring to it.
Amin Alhassan hanging out with us here, NBA front office insider for us and friend of the program. Where are you on the MVP race for him? I mean, he was asked the question yesterday by Rachel Nichols about the NBA restart and these seeding games not counting. Actually, let's go back. Let's start there. Do you agree or disagree with the league's decision to not use these 8 games as part of the criteria for MVP and the individual awards in general?
You know what's funny, George, is when they first announced, hey, we're not going to use it, I said, I can see why. you know, I, kind of without thinking of specifically why, I kind of I get the feel. And then they said the reasoning. And then I was like, oh, no, you guys are full of it. Right? The reasoning was we don't want to, like, shortchange anyone who's not in the bubble, the elite eight, as they call them, right?
Right.
They don't want to shortchange anyone who will be up for award. And I was like, hold on. The rookie of the year is here. So is the second, the number two. Probably so is number three, right? The coach of the year is absolutely here. The MVP is absolutely here. The sixth man is absolutely here, right? The most improved player, maybe, but I would still probably go with someone who's in the bubble. Right.
Right. I would say the top two guys are Bam and Brandon Ingram.
Exactly. So I think when you go, man, for a lot of these awards, George, when you start to think about it, you could go 3D and say all those guys are in the bubble. Like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but Golden State, Chicago, New York, Atlanta, Detroit, Cleveland, you guys don't have anybody worth writing about, like, to even – you know, stay up. Even if it was like, oh, who's my third place or whatever. So I kind of thought it was kind of a lame excuse or, you know, easy way out for the league.
So, I mean, let me go back to the next question then that I was going to ask you, which is about just like, what do you make of his case for the MVP, LeBron versus Giannis?
Now, I mean, LeBron's got an absolutely strong case. Before we got shut down, remember they had that big win against Milwaukee, and then Giannis was hurt and missed a couple of games, and people started saying, wait a second, if Giannis misses games and the Lakers close in on that number one overall seed, well, then that kind of erases some of Giannis's lead, even if you are a staunch Giannis supporter. And then you had this alternate people who were like, oh, you guys are just saying that because ESPN loves LeBron, or like, oh, because he's on the Lakers or whatever, and I'm looking at him like, how can anyone say this? When you look at what he does for the team and how successful the team is, right? The team is amazingly successful. And outside of Anthony Davis, I think we can all agree there's not any elite talent. There are some good players, some solid NBA players. But in terms of elite talent, dare I say it, the three other starters on the Lakers may not even be starters on a lot of other teams. They might be just good, solid backups. So, I think when you take all that into account, I don't know how anyone could have an argument that LeBron shouldn't be MVP other than I just think Giannis is better, which is fair. I think that's right. A fair argument to make.
I think that the statistical nature of it, right, has kind of also skewed some of this. But I was having this discussion with Zach Lowe yesterday on The Jump, and he was making the statistical argument for Giannis. And I just boiled it down to something very simple. Zach, if you had to win a game tomorrow, like, which one of those players are you picking, right? And to me, LeBron is more valuable. He impacts the game in more ways than even Giannis does, even at 35. I think LeBron still does that.
This is, to me... And by the way, a lot of the people, not Zach, obviously, but a lot of people who argue about this quibble that LeBron doesn't even lead his team in scoring, which, again, very lame excuse.
No, right. You're right. Yeah.
But to me, it wouldn't be a statistical argument for Giannis. It would center on defense. If I were to vote for Giannis as MVP, I would say he's just a superior. He might be defensive player of the year, right? And LeBron, even though his effort level this year has been better than what we've seen in the past, he still does the LeBron thing, right? He still, like, picks and chooses. And that's fine, and I get why he does it. But that doesn't mean, like, I'm just going to give him an A on that, on his potential. Like, you still have to actually do it. And so, to me, if I were to vote, and that's why I haven't just made up my mind, if I were to vote for Giannis, it would be based on that. It would be that Giannis offensively drives, obviously, that team, but then defensively, he makes a huge impact that LeBron just doesn't.
Who's your defensive player of the year?
It's Giannis for me.
Me too.
I think he's made the strides. I think a couple of years ago, people were calling him a good defender because he looks like he's a good defender, right? He's long-armed, he's athletic, and he plays hard. But I didn't think he was that good defensively. I think he's made huge strides, and now he's elite defensive player, and to me it's just Rudy Gobert. People forget about it now, but like the moment he was named an All-Star in January when they released the reserve name, Utah just fell off a cliff defensively, and a lot of it because Rudy just wasn't trying anymore. He wasn't doing the things that made him special on the defensive end,
And to me, with all these awards, George, I really give a high premium on the guy that did it every day, right? Not same reason why I went Giannis over Harden last year. Harden had an amazing like last 3 months of the season, but early on he didn't do it every day. And Giannis, from opening night to closing night, he brought it every night. And so I, because of that, I think I'm leaning towards Giannis for Defensive Player of the Year.
What needs to happen for the Lakers to beat the Clippers in a seven-game series? Now, injuries aside, right? Like, we're not counting that.
Yeah.
And vice versa. What do you think needs to happen for the Clippers to beat the Lakers in a series?
I think it all comes to dictating tempo and style of play. If the Lakers can force, whoever can force the other team to adjust to them, that's the winner. So, meaning, if the Clippers force the Lakers to go small, then I think the Clippers win. Because they're just deeper and better at being at small. And their small guys play big, right? Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, these guys are 6'7", 6'8", wings who rebound and can defend multiple positions. If the Lakers force the Clippers to switch and play big, play Zubac more and play Harrell more, I think then the Lakers win, right? Because then the Lakers have clearly a size advantage there with Dwight and Anthony Davis and even JaVale McGee there.
Amino Hassan, ESPN NBA front office insider, friend of the program. Check him out on Twitter at Darth Amin. Check him out on Hoop Streams. Check him out on The Jump. He's everywhere. And of course, on his podcast. Anything else that you want to plug something? You got anything for me to plug or no? What do you got?
Yes. Two things. One, Cinephobe. It's our podcast that me and Zach Harper have that we review bad movies. Check it out. We've had Stugatz as a guest. We hope to have you soon, George, as a guest.
Yes.
Just pick a really bad movie that you enjoy. Yes. And then the other podcast is Black Opinions Matter, BOMM. We've had a great run, obviously, with what's happening in the country. A lot of great conversations. This week we had Kerry Champion. We had Bomani Jones last week. We've had Justin Tinsley, Jamel Hill. So BOMM and Cinephobe, wherever you get your podcast.
There you go. All right, brother. Thank you so much. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
Thanks, George.
See ya. All right. Coming up next, what you need to know and what needs to happen for the Dodgers to win a championship. We've got breaking Dodgers news from earlier. If you missed it, we'll have it for you in 3 minutes.